superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Spartans win the ball game.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And they down Michigan.
There's the door.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Bills get a late takeaway. Justin Zimmer forces a fumble.
On that final offensive play with Newton's fumble, how were you feeling after that moment?
How do you think we felt?
There's the door!
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk on Peacock, Mike Florio, ESPN broadcaster Joe Tessitore. Coming up, your phone calls and more. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of our show on the air. We're getting ready for the Bucks and the Giants tonight on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. And then it's going to be the Bucks and the Saints on NBC Sunday Night Football coming up for week number nine. Oh, man. This is it, because we saw the Saints take care of business against a Bears team that just cannot score points without trying to make it feel like you're pulling teeth. And, conversation there has swung back to maybe Trubisky could do it better than Foles.
Hold on a second.
All right. Ooh. That reeks of overreaction Monday, right?
Sure does.
Okay. You've got a news update coming up, as well as there's been a couple of trades today already. And then there's a subject matter in our poll question that you left out. Go for it, Chris Brockman. Our poll question at the top of hour number three at Rich Eisen Show. Chris, what do you
have? Yeah, the original poll was the most shocking result from NFL Sunday. Bengals beat the Titans. Vikings over Green Bay. Dolphins win Tua's debut. Steelers win in Baltimore. Man, I guess people expected that. That's only at 4%. Dolphins 12%. Vikings, that was pretty shocking to me, 36%. But the Bengals beating Tennessee 48%.
How good is Joey Burrow, huh, man?
This is a really good quarterback draft class.
Well, and also they surrounded him with
really good players. Yeah. T. Higgins looks like a monster.
Right.
So
Boyd, Green, Joe Mixon when he's healthy.
When he's healthy.
Gio Bernard.
How is Gio Bernard still doing it like this, man?
Hey, man. I got to be honest with you. This is how you evaluate a quarterback. That's how you get him ready. And so if the Bengals can do it, then the Jets can do it. And if Burrow was wondering about, is Cincinnati the right place for me? I don't know if he's wondering that anymore. They're going on a bye week off a win over Tennessee. Derrick Henry got his, right?
Sure did.
Corey Davis got his, but the Bengals still took care of business. All that conversation from January of stay away from the Bengals, despite him being from Athens, Ohio, and still being he's a graduate of The Ohio State University.
Everybody loves him now. That dude could play.
I've avoided the subject so far in the show.
I know, and you know, we didn't really bring it up. It was in the radio open for a brief second, but do you want to talk about it? Do you need a hug or something?
Well, I mean, we have to social distance.
A virtual hug.
Virtual.
I'll put my helmet on here.
So, you guys were 21-point favorites over the weekend against... Michigan State at home. What happened?
Why do you have a smile on your face?
I don't.
You know what? I
don't have a smile on my face.
He has a smile on his face. I'm watching the end of that game.
My team stinks.
I'm watching
it's
the
cool.
end of that game during the NFL game day morning. Meeting Zoom. Kurt Warner is on the call without his camera on.
All right. Oh, I don't like that.
That's weird.
Sometimes you know. Sometimes nobody has to know.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know. He's traveling in the middle of the night sometimes to get here. I don't begrudge a man with zooming with his camera off. And so, but when Michigan State was making plays, I was hearing Kurt laughing.
Oh, man.
No, not like that's not a Kurt laugh. That's a Larry David laugh. I heard him laughing. Everybody's having fun at Michigan's expense, and And I'm kind of sick of it.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
I'm sick of it. It's tough to watch year in and year out, seeing them not meet expectations, and it's a difficult watch. It's a difficult watch. I like was texting friends and direct messaging fellow Michigan Wolverine fans. Like it's just a, you know, I'd forgotten about the mix of anxiousness, anxiety, you know, disappointment, anger over Big Ten officiating, which stinks. And when I tweeted about it, it was after Michigan State got called for some cockamamie crackback block. But they overcame it. They got set back, and then they scored a touchdown. Got to play better than the ref's ref. I say that all the time. And then just, you know, mystifying execution. It kills me. It kills me. This is my quarterback, my first quarterback at Michigan. He's my coach.
What is the fix, though?
I don't know what it is. But, you know, Milton is still young, and a lot of these kids are young, and they're playing in an empty big house in a pandemic.
Which is weird.
I have no idea. So I hang my hat on this again, that, you know, one loss doesn't end it, that they win from here on out. I'm assuming Michigan State will lose another game because, you know, I was waiting for a team that had 7 turnovers against Rutgers the week before to show up, but they made no mistakes. They found the weak spots in the Michigan defense and kept hitting at it and hitting at it and hitting at it. And then waiting for Michigan to implode. They didn't make a mistake in terms of a turnover, which has been a problem in the past. So I just hang my hat on the fact that it's a pandemic season with a bunch of new kids. It's going to take some time. It's a rivalry game. I tip my cap to Michigan State. And then just, you know, sit here and take all the crap.
I wonder if Harbaugh should go.
I get googly eyes, you know, like the googly eyes emoji of like, I'm watching this from Breer, you know. And,
right.
And then I go to work and, you know, Richard Isico, who produces NFL Game Day Morning, he's a Michigan State guy. So all the tweets coming in that were ragging on me, but also, you know, complimenting the show that we put on. It's just it's not anything that's out of the ordinary for a rundown is to put these tweets on the air.
They were all hammering
at me. And I even said at one point, Mooch, you read it because I'm sick and tired.
Yeah.
You heard that?
I did.
Which is out of character for me. I actually let my anger flash. I couldn't let my professionalism be my shield. Where I'm like, I'm sick and tired of doing my job and getting hosed. You read it, Steve. Because it was an Instagram photograph that Brady had to put up. Brady put up of the Michigan State hat.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same boat. We all believe that Jim is awesome and the right guy for the job, but it does not. And it's the third rail. It's the third rail of Michigan fandom is that Jim Harbaugh is not the right guy to bring Michigan to the prominence. He recruits his head off. The kids are all really talented, and they don't show up in the wrong side of the newspaper. And Ohio State keeps on crushing it, and Michigan keeps losing games like this past week. But it is, like I said, it's week 2. And if Michigan does win out, I have no idea what people in Las Vegas are thinking, that Indiana's installed as a home dog, right? I mean, against Michigan coming in next week? I mean, really? But it does appear to be, you know, an easier task, or it's not a word, but being in somebody's other stadium without the fans going crazy. I mean, Michigan had no problem in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's only a 3-point game.
You know, it's well, whatever. All I'm saying is that Michigan can pull it together, and if they sweep out, then we're just going to be talking about that crazy 1 week where they lost a game that they shouldn't have.
I mean, that's a pretty big if.
What am I supposed to do here, Chris? What am I going to come on here?
No,
and just...
I mean, I just think it's important to be realistic, and that's a problem that Michigan fans have had to deal with. They're not very realistic. You guys think you're going to compete for national championships, and you're not. I mean, Jim's talent evaluation, I think, is suspect, and I think that's fair. It's not as good as Ohio State's. He's not recruiting as good as other teams, even in the Big Ten. And it's unfortunate, and I think it's a hard realization to come to, but maybe Jim's not the guy. He doesn't seem to be a modern offensive coach, which is what it takes to win in college football.
I don't know. I'm not sitting here and thinking the schemes are at fault, which I have in the past. I didn't sit there watching the Michigan State Michigan game thinking the scheme is off.
Then what happens though? Why, in all these games that you're supposed to win?
Well, I mean, just in terms of this box, okay. I don't want to call anybody out when they're like 18, 19, 20 years old playing a pandemic. And I know that's old school way of looking at it. But there is one particular young man playing cornerback whose birthday it was. And by that, I mean, that's the phrase that I was taught by Marshall and Kurt and Sapp, is that when you see a guy on defense that doesn't perform, it doesn't perform up to snuff or has a certain liability, they keep on giving them birthday punches. And it's his birthday, and it was one of those kids' birthdays. Yeah. And I saw that. And then offensively, Joe Milton has got a lot of, you know.
Yeah, he's a first-time starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get reps here. These are his first live reps as a starter. And there was not much of a deep ball threat that was going on. And in terms of chunk plays, when they needed to drive down the field because the defense finally broke instead of bending to put them down by two scores, Michigan dinked and dunked down the field to the point where the two-minute drill was like the first time they'd ever done that.
Yeah, the kid threw it 51 times.
So, again, you put it all together, and it just shouldn't be. It shouldn't happen. It's something I can't sit here and say it's pleasant at all.
Yeah, you can't lose that game.
But I'm not going to come on here and demand a change. I mean, and honestly, let's just, even if you want to attempt that.
I don't want to attempt that, but it's fair to ask.
Who is Michigan bringing in? Who? Give me a name. Well, you're all the same candidates, you know. P.J. Fleck in Minnesota, Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Will Michigan just go ahead and say to one of the all-time greats in their school's history, one of Bo's boys, hey, man, it has not worked out against Ohio State, and against Michigan State, it's way too inconsistent, and we're done here.
Well, that's not going to happen because the problem is they paid Jim way too much money, so the buyout is probably astronomical.
That guy hasn't forgotten how to coach. I honestly don't know what it is. It just doesn't seem to be clicking again. But there's still a lot of Big Ten football left.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. You beat everybody down the road.
Too.
You beat everyone down the road.
Yeah.
And then mid-December, here comes Ohio State. And again, Michigan State may not play that way again because it's Michigan's their Super Bowl every year.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds arrogant.
It's true.
I know it sounds arrogant, especially when, you know, it should be Michigan's Super Bowl too. Does that about cover it?
Covers it.
I liked it, Rich. Happy.
Ryan in Pennsylvania, let's take your call. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Jim. Hey, how you doing, guys? So I do like candy corn, so I can say that.
All right,
I got
sir.
That in common.
Okay.
I'm a Spartan, but I want to be respectful here.
I'm wondering what
your thoughts are on if this loss sets back the program goals or any progress
that's set back
been made that. Under Jim Harbaugh?
No.
And any kind of work that he's done so far?
No. It doesn't look, first of all, congrats to you, Ryan. And Mel Tucker, I mean, whatever was wrong against Rutgers, boy, did he clean that up within a span of 6 days. That was really impressive. They didn't make any mistakes. They hardly made any mistakes. They made the right choices. The quarterback was terrific. He was very well protected. And then their wideouts were better than the Michigan's corners. I mean, you came in and you did what you had to do, and congrats, and they appreciate the call. It doesn't set the program back. I mean, what do you mean set the program back? I mean, it's not like somebody's calling up saying, I'll come to Michigan because you lost to Michigan State. Maybe you might lose a recruit in-state. I doubt it. This, like I said, go beat Indiana, go beat Wisconsin, then beat everybody else before Ohio State. And then if, we hope, Michigan State loses again, unless they play this great the rest of the way, because I don't believe they play Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken.
Stand by.
I think we went over this.
They do. They play Ohio State.
Okay.
At the end, yeah.
So
on December 5th.
Again, we're in the usual. That's right. Back to back. My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in the usual unenviable position of having to root for Ohio State before trying to beat Ohio State. Michigan State may lose again before all of that. Let's just say Ohio State is as good as they appear. And Justin Fields, if I'm not mistaken, in the first two games this year, I believe he has 6 incompletions. I believe he has thrown the ball only 6 times with his receiver not collecting it. Insane. Insane. And they went to Penn State and took care of business there.
7. He has 6 touchdowns.
I didn't mean to shortchange
it. And 7 incompletions.
There you go.
Yeah.
What's the matter with him? So, by the way, you want to talk about a silver medal of all silver medals in the draft.
Consolation prize.
So, putting it all together, Michigan State should have another loss before Michigan has the opportunity to play Ohio State, beat it somehow, some way, on any given Saturday. And then off we go. Okay.
Good luck.
We're all counting on you. How else am I supposed to look at it? Like, am I supposed to come here and start railing on a guy who I have absolutely adored and I think the world of, and I wish had more success than I had hoped, and, you know, rolled the red carpet out for us in that week where I was an honorary captain, and should I put all of that aside because what's happening is a quote-unquote outrage or an embarrassment or whatever? I wish it were different. I don't know who else would be better, and I don't know what the other alternative is. Should I be more angry? Is that what I should be?
I mean, it's okay to be angry. I mean, your team's pretty disappointing. I mean, I would be angry.
One more phone call, then your news update, and then overreaction Monday. So you'll have a very busy next segment. All Michael right. In Pennsylvania, you're here in the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Rich, what's going on? I feel your pain. Saturday night with Penn State was horrible. We got thrown around like a rag doll at the line of scrimmage. The offensive line, Ohio State came in and played, as the great Merrill Reese would say, backyard football.
Yep.
I think that, and it's very frustrating because you have game day come in, and, you know, you mentioned the Super Bowl thing. Ohio State, that's like our Super Bowl, and we can never get it done. I mean, 1 year the games are so close now. This year was just a flat out disaster, but it's just, we can never get by Ohio State. We always have problems with Northwestern, Indiana. I feel your pain, brother.
Thanks, brother.
It's tough, you know. And Eagles, by the way, had a couple of Eagles defense had a couple great slices of Danucci's pizza last night.
Well done, Michael. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, Brandon Graham, Michigan man, one of those guys too. How do you like your Michigan guys on New England, by the way?
They're great.
I got to hang hats on them,
I wish,
right?
Chase Winovich would play a little bit more in the last few weeks. He hasn't been on the field much, and, you know, it's correlated into losses.
We haven't even hit that either.
Oh, we're going to get to it.
Okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, there has been a response from New Orleans about the spitting accusation that has come from Chicago. That's coming up. Hey, everybody, if you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. This weekend on NBC, Saturday night in primetime, college football's best collide. As number one Clemson takes on number four Notre Dame, followed by an all-new Saturday Night Live. And on Sunday, NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix with coverage beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern. And finally, it's Breeze and the Saints versus Brady and the Bucks on Sunday Night Football. Coverage begins with Football Night in America at 7 Eastern Time. That is how NBC is rolling this weekend. How about that? Top college football game, top National Football League game, all on the Peacock.
NBC has to win this one. If they beat them, it's their time now. If they beat them,
right,
this is the year.
Mike, Trevor Lawrence is not playing. You should win.
I know, and I'm saying, but they got to the end of the year. Who they
it
play?
It means nothing.
I know.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame's got a shot at the college football playoff.
That's what I mean.
No question about it. They need to win this one.
They got to win. They got to win it. Even I don't care who's playing on the other team.
You know, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We were just talking about, again, NBC's got Notre Dame and Clemson. We got a whole week to talk about it. But if Clemson doesn't, if Notre Dame doesn't win, it'll be like, you couldn't even win Clemson without Trevor Lawrence.
And if
Notre Dame wins it, it'll be like,
yeah.
Well, it certainly would make for a fresh college football playoff contest.
Yeah, this is Kelly's year.
Back.
Kelly's got to do it for ND.
Did you guys really watch the Clemson game, though?
Well, yeah, we had Joe Tessitore on. So
I'm saying, like Joe said, and I watched it, the Clemson backup QB, DJ, let me try to say this new name, Uwe Ungalele.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that kid looks like the heir to the throne, if you know what I'm saying. So
look, man.
Don't just write them out just because Lawrence is gone.
It shouldn't be a surprise that, you know, if they can string together Baker, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma, that they should be able to string three stellar quarterbacks together in Clemson, too.
Yeah, and this kid throws, man, he looked good.
Oof.
Look out. It'll all be on NBC again Saturday night. It'll be fun. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. So before we get to your news update, or what do you want to do first, news update or overreaction, Chris?
We can do news first. Okay, it's just kind of a few injuries.
Okay.
And
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has refuted the stipulation that Javon Wims said that he spat at him. And, you know, I just spent the commercial break just investigating all this best I can through Twitter. And I have seen a Twitter, I guess, walkthrough of this moment. That it appears that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson snatched the mouthpiece of Javon Wims at the end of a Bears drive, just ripped the mouthpiece off of his helmet. You know how it hangs down from the helmet, right?
Right.
And it was out there on the field when Wims came off the next play. And even a false start penalty backed the Bears up into the mouthpiece that was still on the field. And then it was a punt, and then the Saints had the ball. So it was about 10 actual real-life minutes or so. Wims was on the bench steaming about it, and he came off the bench and tried to snatch the mouth guard back from Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he was snatching a chain or what.
No, it was in retaliation of... Okay. A mouth. This is what it appears to be.
Yeah, because you can just see him reach like he's grabbing for something.
Well, again, you can see, go on Twitter, you can see CJ Gardner-Johnson take the mouthpiece off of the helmet of Wims and throw it on the ground. Does not mean you should sit there and stew on the sideline until you get a shot to go back in and try and take it back. And then when that doesn't work, haul off and hit the guy and start a brawl. And then, of course, just like everything else in the world when something like this happens. I'm sorry to say this. The next play, Foles throws an interception that changes the game. So, or gives the Saints a leg up that the Bears somehow dug out of that and forced overtime. The same way, I know this is apples and oranges, but it's the same city. In the same time that Bartman grabbed the ball, you know, there was a blown double play ground in the next one.
Right, Alex,
that the actual moment on the field happens after that to make the non-playing moment worse.
Yeah.
It's kind of my clunky analogy. So, anyway, he's denying the spitting. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is denying the spitting. And I can't see any moment where you could see somebody spitting at another human, but you can see the attempts at stealing mouth guards, which is ridiculous. Of course.
I think we thought it had something to do with Gardner Johnson and Anthony Miller. There was a point where Gardner Johnson was up in Anthony Miller's face. He poked him.
I think people thought
that was retaliation.
No, based on what it seems, it involved mouthpiece snatching.
Yo, I'm saying you're right, but at that time you thought that that's what the retaliation was for, but
right
now we know.
Snatching mouthpieces is a great, what would that be?
Grunge band?
Smashing Pumpkins album.
They opened for Smashing Pumkins in 95 at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
True story.
All right, Chris, you want to get to your news update over there? Let's get to the rest
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
What do you have over there, Chris?
Okay, you wanted to know about George Kittle, Rich. So he left the game last night. Initial x-rays did not reveal a fracture, said Kyle Shanahan. Additional tests for Kittle today, so stay tuned to that throughout the afternoon. Lions' Kenny Golladay, big disappointment yesterday. 0 points in fantasy if you have him, as I do. So he went out with a hip injury, expected to miss week 9, considered week-to-week going forward. Not sure yet if he will be put on IR, which would cause him to miss at least 3 weeks.
No kidding. Wow.
So Golladay out for week 9 and possibly moving forward for the next 2 weeks.
That's a blow. I mean, I took the Lions to beat the Colts,
and I feel so stupid
and silly when it all came down to it. And great win by the Colts, who
are
now
sleeping on them.
You know, who are now in the running to win that division.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk more about that in a minute.
Okay.
So Myles Garrett left the game too yesterday. Kind of a scary situation with the knee injury. But Kevin Stefanski just said no structural damage for Myles Garrett. Will be ready to go after the Browns bye in week 9 for week 10. So good news there. Doug Marrone said that Jake Luton's going to take the first team reps this week for the Jaguars. So get ready for the Jake Luton experience, everybody, down in Jacksonville. You have competition for that number one pick. Jacksonville's
coming
for it.
I'm telling you, I know they're coming for it, and that's why the Jets should make the move that I think they need to make, that they now have the potential ability to and the cover to, as Sam Darnold needs an MRI on his shoulder.
Yeah, so Adam Gase said that Sam Darnold's going to have an MRI on his shoulder and a second opinion. Going to get both. Shoulder feels sore. Expected to practice this week, though.
Well, here's
Adam Gase.
Can I have a moment?
Of course.
I told you it gives me no great pleasure to say these things because Sam Darnold is a really good dude, and he deserves better. So let me provide the second opinion, even though I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. Here's my second opinion. Shut it down. It's over. The Jets' Sam Darnold experience is over. It is done with. He is 0-8 this year. He does not deserve to be an 0-16 quarterback. He does not deserve it. It is not his fault. He has been let down, and he has not been surrounded, and he has not been laden with what needs to be presented to him to evaluate him and get him successful. It is over. This year is over. They are 0-8. They are not winning their last eight games to avoid the dreaded sub-500 record. They are not going to make the playoffs. They are not at all in any way, shape, or form ready to roll with a guy who needs an MRI and also needs to have the talent around him. I know the coach said Jamison Crowder's coming back and Rashad Perriman's coming back and they got Mims from Baylor and they have weapons, I guess, that they feel could stretch the field. It's over. And when you're telling me that Jacksonville is now starting
Jake Luton,
then I'm saying this is a five-alarm fire that the Jets need to put out in order to make sure they get the first overall pick. It is more important to get that than to put a potentially injured Sam Darnold in the game and try and win, what, two, three with him? Four if you're lucky? It's over. Stop it. Use the fact that he's got an MRI pending and a second opinion necessary as the cover and tank. That's it. You have the floor. Okay. I yield the floor back to the gentleman across the aisle from the great state of Maine.
Hey, Chris, real quick. Are you saying this quarterback's name? Is it Glutton or Lutton? What do you...
Jake Luton, L-U-T-O-N, because of course Gardner Minshew, you know, he has an issue with his hand. So Jake Luton, and Mike Luton. Glennon is next.
Glennon, let me tell you about Mike.
He played at Oregon State, by the way. So,
all right, a couple of trades have already gone down. As we mentioned, the Niners send Quan Alexander to the Saints for a conditional fifth round pick and Kiko Alonso. And Desmond King to the Titans from the Chargers. A.J. Dillon is out for Thursday. Big Thursday night game, Niners-Packers. A.J. Dillon tested positive for COVID-19.
I am so nervous about this news.
In the protocol for Green Bay. So he's out. Keep an eye if Aaron Jones is still out. So it might be a heavy dose of Jamal Williams again this week.
Well, I mean, they'd be lucky to have the game. I don't mean to be alarmist, but
That too.
You know, Marlon Humphrey, the cornerback from the Ravens, says he is positive for coronavirus. And these are tests that were conducted prior to the game.
Before the game, yeah.
So that means that when they, you know, if these are in fact tests from prior to the game, they were two COVID positive players on the field. Now, it's possible that we have had this before and it wasn't something that did break out and prevent others from playing games earlier this year. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. I honestly thought that everything was buttoned up before anybody took the field. It was just buttoned up from the Saturday before, and so they either contracted it overnight, Saturday into Sunday, or as we talk about incubation periods, it was earlier in the week. Right. I'm nervous that some Vikings may have it, and I'm nervous that the Packers may test negative all day today, all day tomorrow, all day Thursday, Wednesday, and somebody then has it against the 49ers. This is why they tell the coaches to mask up on the sidelines, by the way. I'm nervous about this one. I'll be honest.
Stephen Jones was on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, asked why the Cowboys were not interested in fielding offers for Aldon Smith. He said, Cowboys still focused on fighting for the NFC East.
Why not?
So they are not rolling.
They almost beat the current first-place team with Ben DiNucci tied behind their back.
Hey, DiNucci.
No, seriously. I mean, they had that game potentially won last night.
Got Randy Gregory back.
Look at that. I mean, they're 2-6. They're only a game and a half behind the Eagles. Why wouldn't they think Dalton comes back? They could pull it together. Why wouldn't they think that? I'll tell you this, though. The wild card's gone.
You think
it's just in? All right, you're 2-6. You're 2-6. Wild card's gone.
So you're saying only one team from the East is going to make
it. I'm saying the Bears are 5-3 right now, and they're sniffing it. They're not even in a wild card spot because the West is so damn tough. Whoever doesn't win on Sunday Night Football might have the best pole position of any of the eventual wild cards. And then you've got whoever doesn't win the NFC West. Top two, maybe. I mean, top three could make it in the NFC West, I'm assuming.
Let's assume Thursday night plays. If the Niners beat the Packers, That's huge for the standings. That shifts everything.
I know, but I watched that game yesterday, though, Chris. Jimmy G did not look himself again. He had to come out.
Yeah.
Once again, Nick Mullins comes in, and he or Beathard looks better because, what, they're healthier or what? I don't know what is happening there. And the Niners got Tevin Coleman back, but he was out by the end of the first quarter. Yeah. And then Kittle's out again, potentially. I mean, whatever, he came out of that game yesterday, and they could have used him because at one point it was a one-possession possibility a two-pointer was counted when we saw we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Right. So at one point it looked like they had a shot here. How is he going to turn around and play on Thursday night? Is it going to be Big Nick Mullins against
I think Big Nick. But we just saw Big Kirk Cousins go in and punk the Packers when they've looked like crap all year.
I don't know if it was him. It was Dalvin Cook. Holy crap.
And that's a rivalry.
Is he good?
Dalvin Cook's
my gosh, he good.
200 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Totally transformed it.
All right, two quick things. Did you happen to see Florida-Missouri this weekend, that huge brawl at halftime?
Yeah, and then Dan Mullen was all fired up about it, right? Telling the fans to go crazy over it.
So Dan Mullen got fined $25,000 by the SEC, and Gators defensive lineman Zach Carter and Antoine Powell will miss the first half of the Georgia game because of this. Statement from Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, no place in college football for the incident that took place at halftime. Everyone involved is responsible for meeting sportsmanship standards throughout the game.
When he came out of the tunnel and was like, hey, everybody, let's go. Like, what are we doing here?
Insanity.
What are we doing here? There's just way too much in our society these days. And I know I come across as a snowflake or whatever the hell people call it. Way too much in our society today of normalizing inappropriate behavior. And sports should be removed from whatever we're seeing that is being normalized in the world of, like, being appropriate. And I hopefully am not front-loading the rest of this week about this sort of stuff. But
and Alabama quarterback Mac Jones is your Heisman favorite now.
Okay. Why? Because Trevor Lawrence is going to miss two games?
Mac Jones is your favorite. Closely behind is Justin Fields. Trevor Lawrence now 4-1.
Justin Fields is excellent.
He's very good.
All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll do overreaction Monday, and then we'll take some phone calls, and we'll set up the rest of the week. How does that sound? 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mr. Mercedes, we know it very well because it was on Audience Network when we were on Audience Network. It is now, like us, streaming every single possible moment on Peacock. It is indeed meant to be binged. It's by Stephen King, or it's based on a Stephen King trilogy, as we all know. That means it is particularly of note. Mr. Mercedes, streaming now on Peacock. And we're thrilled to be here every single day as well. And a little shout out to Christopher J. Long, who was in charge of our programming here at Audience Network for all those years and helped give birth to this program as well. It's pretty cool to see Mr. Mercedes on here. And we follow Dan Patrick every single day here, as we did when we were on Audience Network for 5+ years. In other words, Peacock knows what they're doing. Kudos to you, Peacock. We're thrilled to be here every single day. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our radio audience, Sirius XM channel 211, back here right now on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. We say hello once again to our listeners there, especially on the mightier 1090 here in the great state of California. Before we take phone calls to wrap things up, you ready for Overreaction Monday, Chris? We're a little late to the party, but let's go ahead and do it.
That's okay.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Christopher, what do you have?
Okay, they went into Baltimore yesterday and took care of business, guys. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team in the NFL.
Ooh, boy. I don't even think Steelers fans would say that they're the best team in the NFL, that they're still lurking out there. They're still lurking out there as the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
They are not playing each other in this regular season. The last 2 weeks have been particularly impressive going into Tennessee and into Baltimore, and also rolling with the, you now have a bye week punch of week four, holding off Houston when Houston was desperate at 0-2, telling Cleveland we are who we think you are. I guess that's not an overreaction. I'll take it.
All right.
I'll take it. Right now you are what you are, and what they are is the best team in the NFL. Defense, offense, special teams, coaching, all around. I'll take it.
All right, let's go to the AFC East. Patriots had a chance, but ultimately fell to the Bills. Now 2-5 for the first time in a long time. The Pats should start Jared Stidham the rest of the year.
Wow. I'll turn this on you. What do you think? You're the Patriot fan.
Yeah, you know, I think Bill had said Cam's a starting quarterback. It seems like he's going to stick with Cam. I, of course, was all in on Cam from the get-go. But I think you have to see what you have with this kid. And the season is definitely in the tank. You're not going to win the division. You're not making the playoffs. Why not give it a whirl? Like, what do you got to lose? I know the weapons around him are terrible, but can this kid make some plays? You got to see it, and we have not seen it yet. I think putting Cam out there does nothing to help Cam, that's for sure.
Well, here's what I think. I think that Cam should continue playing because he does give them the best chance to win, that they can figure out how to get his skill set more in line with what they do. I think we're beginning to see the passing game. You know, Kurt Warner had a great breakdown on game day morning about how he doesn't do the quick game very well, that he's more attuned to what he's doing in Carolina. He's on a learning curve, and yeah, the first few weeks might have been a touch of a mirage.
Maybe.
So I'm going to say this is an overreaction. They got to keep going with him. He does give them the best chance to win. They're not going to tank. And also, nobody wants to tune in the Rich Eisen show on a Monday and seeing you dressed like Jared Stidham after a win, quite frankly.
I haven't dressed up in a month.
I know. We kind of miss the Inspector Gadget gear that you say passes off for looking like Cam.
Fashion, Rich. It's fashion.
My bad.
Look, they had a huge win. Tua wasn't great, but the Dolphins got a victory. The Dolphins are going to make the playoffs.
Oh, baby, that is not an overreaction. That is not an overreaction. Honestly, you take a look at whoever loses the AFC South and North will make it. Then it's wide open. Cleveland, Vegas, which just got a huge leg up on Cleveland. And then there's the Dolphins. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a three-team musical chair race for that seventh seed. And the Dolphins right now are playing as well as anybody else, three straight wins. We just saw that they overcame what was a subpar performance from Tua in his first start. I'll say that's a proper reaction. They are sniffing it with a bullet.
Oh,
whoa.
Yes. Right. I just said that.
Sniffing it with a bullet.
All right. You mentioned them earlier. We should feel really good about our Colts pick to win the AFC South.
I'm telling you what, man. I told you we were not thrilled first blush with our Vikings pick to win the NFC North.
Well, we're going to get to them in a second.
And then we were not pleased with our AFC South pick of the Colts to win the AFC South. But I don't remember second-guessing myself. Do you remember second-guessing myself?
I don't either. We were right on top of it.
Did it go right back? I don't remember what we were talking about. Yeah, we should feel good about it, man.
Dude, Philly Riv is dealing now.
Philly Riv with three touchdown passes. The defense is good. Oh, yeah. I like it.
All right.
Wait till T.Y. Hilton starts coming on strong. He's hardly done anything, right?
He's been banged up. Yeah, he's been banged up. Michael Pittman needs to get back.
And they're 5-2. When did they play Tennessee? Let me look at that. Indianapolis, let me look up their schedule, is okay. A Thursday nighter to kick off week 10 is at Tennessee, and they play Baltimore this coming week with Green Bay and then the second Tennessee game right behind it. So, the next month will tell the tale, sir.
Two games in a row for Philly Riv, three touchdowns.
Tell the tale. Thursday night football, Philly Riv at Tennessee. Here we roll. Sunday coming up against the Ravens. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
So let's put a pin in it right now to say we're feeling good about it. Before you remove that pin over the next 3 to 4 weeks. But right now, I'm feeling good about it.
Okay. All right. The other pick we kind of wanted to mulligan on are the Vikings. But guys, Vikings, not dead yet. Look at the schedule.
They can rattle
off some wins here.
Okay. Not dead yet. From Monty Python, right?
Yes.
Home for Detroit. No Kenny Golladay. Let's give him that, shall we?
Let's do it. Yep.
All right. At Chicago on a Monday night.
Ooh. Now we're cooking.
Is Trubisky going to start by then? It's in 2 weeks.
Maybe.
Oh, then there's the gimme. Home for Dallas.
And then home for Carolina.
Home for Carolina.
They could win four straight. Suddenly they're 6-6.
Home for Jacksonville.
7-6.
Then they finish up at Tampa.
Oh, awesome.
Home for Chicago. Ooh. A Christmas night game, it appears, at New Orleans and then at Detroit.
That might be 9 wins right there. Mike,
not an overreaction.
Not dead yet.
I'm all in. Let's start following all of Harrison Smith's Twitter and Instagram accounts. Let's get the band back together and run Dalvin Cook. Let Dalvin Cook.
Hey-o.
Ooh. Hashtag.
Hashtag. Brand it. All right, guys. Last week, we saw him track down Buda Baker from like 4,000 feet away.
Yes.
Yesterday, he went wild. Career day for DK Metcalf, who is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
You did not stutter. If Russ is the MVP, and I say that the Russell-DK connection is the best quarterback-wide receiver combination in the league, why isn't he the best wide receiver in the league? And the only guy who can come close to him in terms of always open, can always get himself open, has a catch radius of 90 miles, and can break anything 50 yards in a flash is DeAndre Hopkins, who somehow was acquired for something other than a first-round selection. Yeah, that's not an overreaction. Throw it to him. They targeted him 15 times. They could have easily done it 20, 25 times. Why not? He can run every route, too. Like I said earlier in this show.
And he's the fastest guy in the field. He's the biggest guy in the field.
The first touchdown of the day for him yesterday was him essentially running the gauntlet drill that you see at the combine, where they start from one side of the field, run across to the other sideline, turn to the quarterback and catch it, turn up field when you get to the sideline, and finish the drill by going to the end zone. That's what he did. And instead of having to turn the other way and catch a football coming at him from that direction, he had to make sure he wasn't tackled. The rest of the people on the field were there to put him on the turf. Come on now. I didn't stutter. 15 targets, 12 receptions, 161 yards, wow. 2 scores. Try and guard him.
You can't do it.
Certainly when there's a Tyler Lockett on the field, too.
It was also always open.
That's correct.
All right. 26-23, they lost yesterday. We don't know what their offense looks like. There was a lot of talking, though, but the Bears should go back to Mitch Trubisky.
They can't do it. How can they do that? How can they do that? How can they do that? How can they basically say to the locker room, we're going with Nick, and Nick acts as he should. I'm not saying acts by saying that he's putting on an act, but he acts like he is running the team. It is his team. He's the one being inspirational. He's the one trying to win it. He's the one taking the hits. He's the one trying to lead. How do you say we're benching him to go back to the other guy who we said through 10 quarters was ineffectual? How do they do that? And look the rest of that locker room in the face and say, we know what we are doing. The only way you could possibly twitch in that direction is if the defense is on such a cane mutiny that it needs to be squelched by going to Trubisky. How do you do that? That's just not going to happen. It ain't happening.
Ooh. All right, one more. They have a big-time stud quarterback, but another gigantic lead blown in a game they should have won. Anthony Lynn is on the hot seat after another big lead.
I hope that's not the case. He's a good dude, good guy, and I don't know how do you as a coach make him finish? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we need to clean the house instead of firing people, have the little old lady from Poltergeist go and clean, make sure the house is clean. I don't know what it is that it's. I don't know. But they got the right quarterback. They still have the right weapons. I don't know how we keep talking about this with the Chargers. Doesn't matter. San Diego, Los Angeles, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know what the hell happened
up
right
the
there.
405.
I didn't watch it closely enough to see, did he make the wrong move? Did they not have the right play in? Did they shoot themselves in the foot?
They were up
I didn't 24-3. I did not
midway
see
midway through the third quarter.
I don't know what happened. But all I know is that when my son said to me, Dad, who do you think's winning this game? And I looked up and I saw the Chargers with a 2-touchdown lead beginning of the fourth quarter. I said, I don't know. I don't know. And the five blown leads that we see on the screen that resulted in four losses and just one win does not even include the one win from week one where they were lucky enough to have the Bengals kicker, Randy Bullock, cramp up with the bunny that he had set up to try and force overtime, giving them one of their only two wins of the year. So I hope that's an overreaction. How does that sound? That's the way
that's
Overreaction Monday here on the show. Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Jake in Phoenix. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on, sir?
Rich, I wanted to give you a call, man. You had a rough weekend with your Wolverines. You got people picking on you, Rich. And so I think it's only fair that someone extends a Rich Eisen Show bro hug to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm reaching out.
Okay, so am I.
Coming around.
Yep.
Tap, tap. And then we break.
Mm-hmm.
Be okay.
Thank you, Jake.
Well done, Jake.
You know what, Jake? I needed that. I really did. And I
could tell. I was watching this weekend, and hey, I may have sent you a tweet or two or three or five.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty on my feed.
It's funny when the Wolverines lose.
Why is it funny, Jake? Funny how? Do we amuse you? Are we like a clown? Like a clown, we amuse you?
Yes. Yes.
All right, Jake, yes. I'm going to now tell you.
I think it was brought up last week. Michigan is the Dallas Cowboys of college football.
Oh.
Overhyped, over-talked about, underperforming.
Hey, drop this call, Mike. Drop this call.
Yeah, you want to tell Jake to go get a shine box?
I was about to say.
Thanks for the call, Jake, and for the virtual bro hug there. Appreciate it. Peter in Texas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's on your mind, sir?
So I'm a big fan. I'm a longtime fan.
Thank you.
You know, I love your show. I love the guys, especially TJ, because now I have a fellow Cowboys fan.
What up, though? But
with all due respect.
And LSU's about to drop.
I'm an LSU fan as well. So, Rich, I got to ask, how do you deal with bad teams like this?
Well, first of all, you can bask yourself and, bathe yourself and wrap yourself around last year for LSU. And for Dallas, I don't know, man. It's just, it's tough. I got to tell you. It's not easy. Just got to suck it up and hope for the best. And I can't keep talking this way because it hurts. Thank you for the call. There you go. I can't handle an LSU fan saying help me. Even though they got they got waxed by Auburn. They are an afterthought. They are an afterthought right now.
Go Tigers.
Thank you, Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Appreciate that. Our final poll results over there, Christopher.
The biggest surprise from football Sunday. Bengals beat the Titans, guys, 49%. Candy corn, oh yeah, or nope?
Yep.
Nope, 69%.
Wow, 7 nice. Out of 10.
It's the bottom of the barrel when it comes to candy.
Oh, my God. I'm going to ask this question not in terms of, wins, losses.
Got it.
In the real world. Do the Does the Bucks defense get more than 15 fantasy points tonight?
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Baby, I need it.
Is that what you need?
That's it.
All right.
Travis Fulgham had a night last night.
I know.
Yeah, that killed me too, Rich.
He's pretty good, brother.
That dude is pretty good.
I need Leonard really Fournette good. And Scotty Miller to blow up tonight.
For our radio audience, we will see you on Tuesday's show. I'll have a fun show set up for you there. But for Peacock, more of this program will set you up for Brother from Another.